Welcome to a place of rods, reels, line, and fish. You're about to enter the fishing zone. Yeah, this is us. This is Fish and Franks. I don't know who you thought you might be listening to, but it ain't those guys. It just went old us. Fish and Frank in the chair, Robert in the chair across from me, and we have Captain Carl from KB Backcountry Charters in the guest seat today. So, let's see what's going on here. Howdy, boys.
Hi, Frank.
Oh, so excited today. Today is literally not one of the days where, you know... Kind of. It's kind of that kind of day. It's blustery. It's not exactly a day to go fishing, so it's a great day to talk about fishing, right?
Yeah. Every day can't be perfect, unfortunately.
So, let's talk about probably one of the fastest growing fish from baby to adult and produces a tremendous amount of eggs. It can be caught almost in every ocean on the planet, and they go all over the globe. It's one of the few fish they actually raise farmed for food out in the middle of the ocean. They put up big pens and they have the fish there and grow them in pens so that they're actually a production food fish. And of course, that's talking about ling, is one name for them. The crab eater's another. What's another name for them, Robert?
Those are the two real quick oddball ones off the top of my head.
So we must be talking about what fish, Captain Carl Buttigieg?
Cobia.
Cobia, yes. See, he says it so simply. It just breaks it right down to the base point.
Right.
Cobia. Okay, cobia. So cobia, to me, is a really prehistoric fish. I mean, this didn't climb heavily up the evolutionary ladder.
No, it didn't. It kind of got to one spot and stopped.
I mean, it's...
It's like some captains I know.
Charter boat captains, yeah, that kind of goes in. They're not real high on the evolutionary scale.
So, sorry, I couldn't let that one go.
Okay.
You nailed it.
I'm thinking back in history, we had some crazy-looking lizard fish, a catfish, and a really, you know, horny, I should say, Randy Amoris shark. Right. And they all were into something kinky. Because this really looks like a shark and a catfish and some crazy-looking lizard all got together in a wild night of party, and this was the result.
Yeah, that's its offspring. Yeah, it's awesome. They are a very weird-looking fish.
I mean, they got spikes, little tiny spikes off of them. They got big, long fins. They've got a really strange big old mouth, big lips.
Big, flat kind of looking face on it.
Yeah, kind of like a big catfish.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it from the front, it looks kind of reminds me of like either like a flathead catfish or like an Amazon redfin catfish, you know, looking straight at them.
But if you look at it from ways away, it looks a lot like a shark.
Yes. Absolutely.
But it's got the fins of, I don't know what, but I mean, it's a pretty amazing fish. So, cobia, C-O-B-I-A. Now, because we're doing this show in prelude to... we're going to go over a couple of the baits. I would say blue crab is one of the best baits for them. I like to either cut one in half or use like a whole one with a little bit of it mashed up. Carl, what's your favorite bait for cobia?
Crab. Crab by far. I mean, they love those crabs. I use the smaller ones, but I use them live. And okay. I just crack one corner off, the opposite corner where my hook is.
Gotcha. Robert, your favorite bait?
To be honest with you, on the fishing in this area, I'm going to probably say either a silver trout or a whiting.
Okay. Good choice. I've caught them on greenbacks, thread fins.
I've caught more on greenbacks and shrimp, but when I'm actually sitting targeting them, it's definitely preferred the little bit bigger baits.
The whiting or the sugar trout?
Yeah.
Or silver trout?
Yeah, either one, the sugar trout, okay. Silver trout, whichever one I can catch first.
Gotcha. Now, which bait do we think catches the most cobia? If you were going to just try for, I'm going to say, believe it or not, I go with shrimp. Now, Carl, what's your bet?
Shrimp.
Yep. For just overall most fish?
Absolutely.
Yes. What could you catch, you know, the from small ones, big ones, just most?
Shrimp.
Absolutely shrimp.
All right, because I don't know if, I kind of think white bait, but shrimp, white bait, it's going to be kind of a toss-up on it, but I'm not sure.
I'm probably going to go with the shrimp just in general because I know I can buy it here. I don't have to go look for the white bait, and usually if I'm looking for, if I'm going to dedicate the day to cobia, you know, it's a lot of just being up barely on plane, sight fishing for them, looking for them on the flats and cruising, covering a whole lot of ground. I don't want to run out, try to find bait, and then come back in and start looking for them. I want to get going and
go for them.
And I know they'll eat a shrimp 98% right. of the time.
Now, Carl, do you like to run? Now, Robert, he likes to get the boat up and actually go looking for cobia, trying to sight fish them. Are you a running the boat guy? Are you a drifter? Are you a stopper, anchor?
I mainly use my trolling motor where I'm at, unless I'm on, like, 41 bridge, then I anchor up. But I'm mainly on my trolling motor, and I'm not really sight fishing them as much.
All right. How do you like to fish them?
Usually when I get out there, I'll set up a couple different ways. I'll set one up free line of shrimp or a whiting. I'll put one on a float, and then I'll put one on the bottom.
Okay.
Just to find out where they're at for the day, and then I'll switch all my baits to
whichever one's most productive.
Yes.
Robert, you use the same thing or different?
Well, you were talking about catching the most, so I know that I'm going to find...
No, just catching...
No, I know, but I'm just saying in general, that's why I wanted the shrimp for running around looking for them.
All right.
But if I'm actually just going to sit and just wait for that quality cobia, I'm going to do the same basic thing. I'm going to anchor up and have three rods basically down current from me, but I'm also going to have a fourth rod that always sits in the back transom, right off the back of the boat or the front of the boat depending, and it's hanging literally 2 feet underneath the boat.
All right, why do you want a rod so close to the boat hanging under the boat?
Because there's so many times, I mean, they're like ghosts, they just show up, and it's not unusual for them to be, because they are pelagic fish, they're constantly moving around and prefer open water, but they love structure. They come up underneath that boat for shade and an ambush point. And they'll sit right underneath your boat, and so many people make a mistake. It's kind of like guys fish from shore cast out to the open, and guys that fish from a boat cast to shore. Guys that fish from a boat are always casting away from their boat, but they never have one right next to it.
All right, Carl, you agree or disagree?
Totally agree.
And because the one thing I think Robert should have brought up on that is when you put that rod in the rod holder and you feed enough line out just so the bait's about 2 feet below the bottom of the boat, just hanging there as close to the boat as you can get it, loosen the drag way up.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you better.
Because if you get a hit with a 30 to 50 pound fish 2 feet from the boat, that rod is going to double over. If that drag's too tight, you're probably going to break the rod holder. Something's going to give. And very seldom is it the fish.
Right.
So... Or the hook could pull out of the fish. I mean, a lot of bad things can happen. So, do you guys use chum or no chum? Robert, chum or no chum?
Chum is definitely going to help. It's never going to hurt.
All right. Bag chum or do you make your own?
No, I use the bag chum.
Carl, agree or disagree?
I love using chum, but I use my own. I'll just take, like, Spanish sardines and I'll start dicing them up. You know, here and there, I'll just start dropping a few off the side of the boat. And when I'm dropping them off the side of the boat, I'm watching those chunks go down. Because you'll see them cobia. If they're under your boat, they'll come out from under your boat and slurp them right up. And then if that happens, dice up a bunch, put a hook in one and drop them down, and good chances that you're going to hook them.
Well, I agree with both of you, and I think if I was going to do it, usually I'm pretty cheap, but in this case... I'm going to have a box of sardines or a bag of sardines and a bag of chum because I like the chum to remain constant. But I really think Carl's got a great idea because if you're sitting there cutting little pieces of sardine up and just flicking them over the side of the boat where you can watch them fall into the water, and when they start disappearing, you know there's fish there. And so the chum bag, to keep that steady stream of smell going, that steady interest, where the further a fish is away, the fainter the smell would be, but the closer it gets to the boat, the stronger the smell is going to be. It does the same thing when you use just the pieces of sardines, but if I'm going to spend that time, I'm not as patient as these guys. I really would like more results, but I love the idea, like Carl says, dropping them down, and when you see them start to disappear on the way down, put a hook in one and drop it down. So anyway, so I think you guys got it. Is there anything else we should mention about bait fishing for cobia? We've said put one under a float, anywhere from 3-4 foot under a float, and the other one either free line or on the bottom, depending on current. Too much current, you can't free line, it'll come right up. So if it's a slower tide, free line. If it's a faster tide, a sinker. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that you would want to say with that?
Not really, other than sometimes there's specific spots you try to look for when you are anchoring up.
You structure.
Rather than just going out and blindly dropping the anchor. You know, I usually like to anchor up around, like, one of the bigger channel markers. That's usually one of my more favorite places to be anchored up for them.
What you're actually saying is you're looking for something that might hold some type of bait. So a type of structure, either a reef, a marker system. If it's a multi-pole marker, it has more of a chance of holding bait than a single-pole marker.
Correct.
So a reef,
bridge
a marker,
pilings.
Bridge pilings.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing on that would be a sandbar separating a flats area from an open water area.
Correct.
Because they might just cruise along that flat. Mm-hmm. Again, kind of a structure thing, a little different sort.
Right.
Is that another option?
Oh, yes, totally. I mean, especially right now, there's a lot of them running right on the outside of the sandbars. A lot of big cobia running right down the sandbars.
Now, do these fish, Robert, do they ever go behind the sandbar up into the shallows?
Yeah. Yeah, they will on occasion go up into that 1.5 to 2.5 feet of water. They're following stingrays. They'll follow manatees. But they also just randomly just swim around up in there because they are a pretty darn impressive predator. They're a dopey fish, but at times they can be a really, really good predator.
Carl, do you see the same thing? Agreement or disagreement?
Totally agree. You know, whenever I see them up in the flats, it seems like to me that they're mainly keen on those smaller trout. That's what it seems to me like they're in there feeding on.
Mm. I'll agree with that. You know, I mean, when they get
small blue crabs, crossing the flats, trout.
Yeah, there's something about them when they get in that less, you know, like 2 feet, well, it's even 3 feet of water or less. It seems like to me I have a harder time getting them to hit something because it's almost like they are really got a specific food item that they're preying on. So it's hard to match what I think they're feeding on versus when you get them in that on the outside edge of the bar or on top of the bar where it's access to deeper water. It seems like they're less picky.
Now, is that something you see, Carl, or is it you think they're more picky back in the shallow water or less picky?
I really think it's just they're more spooky in the shallow water. That's why they're a lot more pickier.
I'll go with that. That kind
of
makes
sense. So instead of being picky, maybe they're just more aware of
what's around,
boats, predator. You know, you guys are the predator. Mm-hmm. You know, we are the predator in that case. So
absolutely.
We're going to scare them more in that shallow water because they notice us more.
Yes. Right. What do you think?
I'm not sure I'm going to... I can go a lot of different ways, but I like where this is going so far. I'm just gonna hang in with this. I'm gonna be the neutral voice of things today. I'm gonna let you guys work this out. As you know, a lot of these shows is a lot of my opinion, and I like the way this one is going. So, with this, Carl, how are small blue crabs for bait? Now, like the other day on the east side of the harbor here on the flats, there you saw a ton of little crabs out there.
Yep.
I mean, you were visually seeing them all over the place, and Kale and a couple of the other captains have seen a lot of cobia on the flat. You think that's a connection or just a coincidence?
Very good possibility. I mean, it just seems like there's a lot of those smaller crabs running the flats right now. It's like they just all had a big hatch.
So do you look for crab traps when you're on the flats as a better indication of possible cobia?
Yes, and then also another thing, that reason why those fish all might have been in the flats this past week is the full moon.
I didn't think of that.
You know, it's a lot brighter at nighttime, so they're pushing into flats. It's easier for them to feed.
So they can chase more food on that full moon because the shallower water is going to be brighter.
Mm-hmm.
And the water's been pretty clear lately. So the clearer, shallow water at night, the light's going to penetrate in further, make it, you know, harder for the prey to see them coming. But they can, you know, feed easier.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Good point. Very good point. Didn't think of that. See, yeah. I told you this was going well.
Yeah, I didn't think about that either. It's actually a really valid point there.
All right, so we've kind of discussed about the bait. What I'd like to get into is lures that all three of us have caught a cobia on. Now, I'm going to start off with, and I got to reach over to get it. Here, I've got a Johnson Sprite. It is a 3/4 ounce gold spoon. Anybody else pick this? Nope. Anybody else caught a cobia on a gold spoon?
I have.
You've caught a cobia on a gold spoon? Yep. Okay, well,
fish in the flats for Robert.
Yeah, Robert's got the silver minnow style.
Yeah,
the single hook version. Now, did you use gold or silver? I've caught them on gold.
I've caught them on both gold and silver. It just was the 1/2 ounce size of what I had caught them on, so I grabbed it.
So you like the 1/2 ounce spoon single hook weedless minnow style?
Yes.
Carl, which one for you?
I mean, my favorite lure for them is a storm.
No. We're right on the spoons here. Oh. You've caught them on spoons. Is it?
Yep. Half inch gold is what I'm using.
1/2 ounce gold is.
Yes.
That's your cobia spoon of choice.
Yeah. I mean, most of the time when I've caught them on the gold spoons, I've been fishing for other fish, and they've actually come up and hit it though.
As a bycatch. Yes. Yeah.
See, and that's where I'm at. I've only had them follow the spoon when I've actually seen them targeting them, but all the other times I've caught them on a spoon has been, hey, there's one and cast to it, or just by blind casting and accidentally catching them while targeting other fish.
Okay, so mostly the cobia caught on the spoons have been a bycatch. I've actually seen them and thrown, had the 3/4 ounce spoon on, throwing for other things, saw a cobia, casted it past them, start to reel it when it gets, and I'll try and get it reeling in fairly quick so it's going right at the surface, and then when if I can see right where it is at the cobia, I'll stop reeling and let it flutter in front of his face and then start reeling again without jerking it, and it does seem to cause a reaction strike. Next lure here, let me see, the 15 Bomber SIG. Now, the 15 is about a 5-inch lure. It goes down, I can run it in about 2 feet of water or so, but usually it works best in 4 feet or better of water. But that Bomber, the SIG, which is kind of white sides with a green back, I've caught a couple cobia on that. Literally casting the open flat for just basically whatever would hit, and had him strike that Bomber. Mm-hmm. Any of you guys pick a Bomber lure?
I did not.
Nope.
You guys, okay.
I've not caught one on a Bomber.
Yeah, neither of you guys caught one on a Bomber.
Sir, nope.
Okay. Robert, what did you pick that was not a Bomber?
Bait Buster.
DOA Bait Buster. I have not caught one on a Bait Buster. Carl, you?
Yep.
You've caught one on a Bait Buster. Now, what's your favorite color for cobia on a Bait Buster?
To be honest with you, it's my favorite color Bait Buster, period, for tarpon and cobia. So it's kind of a catch-all thing.
So white with the green back.
Yeah, white with the green back with the red throat.
Okay, and I guess if I put my glasses on. Carl, what's your favorite color?
The white with the black back with the red and orange neck.
Okay, this is an FBBT 372. So 372 is the color Robert likes. I don't know the color that...
I do pretty much the same color, just with the black back.
It's right, white with harbor, the black back.
Yeah, our harbor is darker, so
more mullet color.
Mm-hmm.
Although this, I guess, would almost be a greenback color, but it would be a mullet color as well.
Yep.
Yeah.
So both of them are technically the same. Now, Robert, when you've caught using it for cobia, what action do you give that lure? Do you jig it? Or
actually, similar to how you were just describing your spoon, I'll reel it kind of a little bit higher. You know, hold my rod tip up a little high, and kind of get it going the direction that the cobia is swimming. And I have a harder time seeing where my bait is at in relation to the cobia. So usually I mean, 99% of the time I'm with somebody that's kind enough to say, hey, you're right there in front of it. And I'll do that pause and start to let it sink. or I'll give it just a real quick twitch and then start to let it sink. Then I'll just do a nice slower retrieve while lowering my rod tip, so it's just slowly swimming away but slowly sinking down at the same time, like it's kind of getting ready to go to hide or get away from them in a more subtle way. And that's been my most productive way on the flats. And then the other times I've been out on the harbor tarpon fishing and see them coming swimming by and just casting to them with a Hail Mary cast and reeling.
Okay, Carl, what do you do with a DOA bait buster to catch tarpon? Or catch cobia?
A lot of times I'm trolling them. I do a lot of trolling with those.
Okay.
You know, the speed that I like to troll is between 1.9 and like 2.4.
All right.
You know, just
that's pretty specific.
That's really good information. I like it.
It's just I sit out there and I watch my speeds. You know, whenever I'm trolling, I'm always paying attention to the speed. You know, if you know your speed where you're getting your hits, you know, it's generally right in that same area.
Yep, that's perfect, Carl. Now,
do you vary it a little bit to try to find that speed that they like?
I usually start off like a 1.9, the slower, and then I'll usually bump it up to 2.4 if I'm not getting anything.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah.
I like it.
Excellent. All right, Carl, you didn't pick a bait buster, did you?
Nope.
What did you pick?
Storm paddletail.
Okay, Storm swim shads.
Yep.
All right. Robert, did you pick those?
I did not.
I did not either. So why did you pick the Storm swim shad?
You know, I've had very good luck. I used to use these for tarpon a lot, and then I started catching a lot of cobia while I was trying to catch tarpon, and I was like, you know, I'm going to start using these more and more. And this is another lure that I love to troll, especially down Alligator Creek Reef or down the 41 Bridge. I love trolling these things. You could also, you know, just blind cast them too.
Now, when you troll along a reef, are you going sideways or lengthways along the reef?
When I'm doing that, I'm doing more of like a zigzag, just because some days they're going to be on top of the structure on the reef, and then other days they're going to be just off.
Okay.
So I'm going from the reef, going off the reef, coming back on the reef.
All right. Now, if you're trolling a bridge, different?
Yeah, I just try to, you know, about 10 feet out from the bridge. That's where I like to get my baits. And I troll parallel with the bridge.
All right. Well, let me pick one here. Rattle trap. And nice. I have caught some of the very first cobia I ever caught were on rattle traps. And I do like the bleeding shad one. When it first came out back in the 80s or 90s or whenever it was, and it was first hitting the market, it's the bleeding shiner one in half or three quarter ounce. And that lure I caught quite a few cobia with, either just casting it out and slowly reeling it in, or casting it and jigging it a little bit. I've done it both ways on cobia, and I've had very good luck on them. And it was back 20, 25 years ago. It was one of my favorite cobia baits that I kind of forgot about, and now went through it. Now
I just forgot about till you just said it.
Robert, you caught cobia on a rattle trap?
I have, but it was by complete accident. You know, once again, that was just blind casting, targeting other species. But that bleeding shiner is my second favorite color in the rattle traps, without a doubt.
What's your first color?
The chrome with the blue back.
Gotcha.
That's just because that's what I caught my very first redfish on. So it just kind of, you know, we always talk about confidence in the lures. So it's just, but that bleeding shiner, you turned me onto that when I first started working here, and I caught a lot of snook on that thing.
All right. Carl, have you caught cobia on rattle traps?
Yes. My favorite color is the pinfish looking one. Yeah, actually, that same one that you're using.
Okay, that's called the bleeding shiner.
That's the one.
This is why. Now, just to let you guys know out there in radio land, wherever you are, what we do to do this is we're here at Fish and Frank's inside the tackle store. We have a store here in Port Charlotte, Fish and Frank's, and then we have Fish and Frank's too in North Fort Myers. But here in the store, what the assignment was to go around and pick lures that you have caught a cobia on without letting the other guy see it, and then pick some lures that you'd want to use for cobia. So that none of us knew what the other ones came up with were for lures. It makes it more fun because we're being surprised and we don't know what's going on. But it was funny, Carl was talking about that. I'm holding this up. He says, yeah, that's it.
Well,
so
a pinfish is another thing we missed on a live bait. Pinfish work very good on cobia too.
Yeah, see, we're getting it all.
Well, and so does catfish while we're at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, catfish, there was a study done in Louisiana. years ago when they were doing a tagging program and stuff like that. They were catching cobia and taking stomach samples where they stick a tube down their throat and flush it out with water to pump out their stomach to see what the contents were, because they didn't want to kill the animal.
These are drunk cobia. They're out there. They've just had about 40 made to get their stomach pumped out so they could swim proper.
Well, they've been doing a study. I don't know if they ever finished it or not, because I honestly lost track of it years ago. But the catfish that they were getting out of the stomachs of these catfish, they were finding that they were debarbed.
Really? So the cobia were biting the barbs off before they swallowed it.
Yeah, they don't know if they were crushing them in their crusher plates in their throat, because they are crab eaters.
Mm-hmm.
So they aren't sure if they were actually crushing them, because they didn't find too many. That they found a few that were embedded in the roofs of their mouths the way they do sharks with stingrays, but they found a lot less than what the catfish were in their contents of their stomach. So they think that they're theorizing that they're actually somehow breaking those spines off of those catfish before they eat them.
Yeah, smart cobia.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to get stuck by a catfish.
It was kind of a fascinating read. It was by the, I think if I remember, it was University of Louisiana that was doing it.
Wow. I have to look that up. All right, Robert, pick a lure. What did you pick another lure you've caught cobia on?
It's actually my favorite cobia lure, and it's two lures in one. It's a bucktail with a dark-colored worm attached to the bucktail itself.
Okay, Carl, did you pick a bucktail?
Yep.
I have a bucktail and a culprit worm. It's a bass worm. Carl has the bucktail, culprit worm. We all three have it. Now, the culprit worm that I like is a kudzu shad. It is a chartreuse white with green fleck in it. Robert, what color did you pick on your worm? Did you pick the culprit worm? Yep, you've got the culprit. Okay.
I picked the culprit.
Carl, what did you pick?
The red shad culprit.
We're all using the culprit worm on him. I think the ribbon tail on the culprit worm has the best eel appearance.
It absolutely has the most action.
Now, you've got kind of a, you're using June bug. Black grape with green glitter, Robert is. And Carl, what you
red have? Shad.
Red shad.
Black with red.
All right, now, did you purposely go to the 12-inch over the 7?
Yes.
All right, I'm using the 7-inch, the 7.5-inch, actually. Robert, what size did you pick?
7.5.
7.5. Now, why did you go to the 12, Carl?
Just try to lure in the bigger fish.
Bigger bait?
The other day, I had a problem, getting bigger cobia, and we were all short, so I was trying to experiment and go bigger baits.
Gotcha. Now, I'm using a smaller bucktail jig head with it. I have a 1/4-ounce head on mine. What weight are you into, Robert?
1 ounce.
A 1 ounce?
2 ounce.
2 ounce. Okay, so everybody's got their own style. Now, I'm doing the lighter one. I can't throw it as far, but I can run it slower and keep it up in the water. Why did you go to 1 ounce, Robert?
I went with the 1 ounce because it's been a little bit more universal for me for using offshore, as having it set up as a pitch rod when I'm out there grouper fishing or snapper fishing. And it's worked for me fairly well inshore. The real shallow flats, I do have a harder time not getting it hung up in all the grass, but if I'm on the outside of the bar, I have no problem with it.
Carl?
When I'm throwing those jigs, the sparrow jigs with those worms on them, I'm doing more bouncing off the bottom. So that's why I go with a heavier jig head.
So you let it go down, hit the bottom,
yep,
lift your rod tip up, and do you do a lift, a real lift?
I'm doing like a bounce-bounce, let it sink, bounce-bounce, let it sink.
So you're reeling, lift a little higher,
yep,
drop your rod tip, reel a little bit, lift, and then reel. And
sometimes I don't even reel. I'm floating, I'm drifting, and I'll just keep it out there whatever distance and just bounce, bounce, let it fall, bounce, bounce, let it fall.
Get that 2 ounce, gives you a good thump on the bottom, get their attention with it, kind of like a crab or something hitting the bottom, or an eel maybe trying to dig in. Now, when I'm doing it, I use the lighter one. I'm swimming it very close to the surface, rather slow speed, just enough to keep the tail wiggling good and something easy for them to catch.
Right.
So that's a big difference between the two. Explains why one of us has a 2 ounce and the other has, 3/8 half ounce.
Now, why did you grab a light colored one compared to like us?
Both you guys went with the dark one doing an eel imitation, and I went with the bright green because I think it contrasts the water better, catches their attention. and I've done real well with the bright greens. And for as far as it's such a contrast, I think it stands out. It's more of a chartreuse color, a brighter color, and that bright green glitter in it. It's a dark green, but I think it stands out. And when I'm swimming it close to the surface, catches a little bit of sunlight. I just think it works good that way.
See, now the other day I was doing some experimenting with this. I took one of these big storm baits,
right.
Ripped off all the plastic, and I just got the weight with the hook. I rigged the worm onto that, and then I put one of those clear casting bobbers. And I was in shallow water throwing that, and I was not catching any grass at all because this was up on the surface. That casting bobber was allowing it to stay up.
Gotcha.
And I was throwing it in shallow water, not picking up any grass at all.
So you were letting the jig head go along the bottom?
No, the cast of the bobber, the clear one.
The big clear water fillable bobber with no water.
Well, I was throwing it out, and I was reeling it steady, slowly in, and it was bringing my...
The extra buoyancy from the casting bubble was keeping it up.
Yep, out of the grass.
Nice. Very nice.
I like that idea.
All right. See, we're learning. We're learning. Okay, Carl, pick a lure that you have caught Kobe on.
The Savage Gear, the Savage Swim Bait.
Oh, trout. Yeah, that trout. That should be called a mullet. It's called a trout, but it really looks more like a mullet.
Yep. See, like, I do a lot of trolling with these, and I'll get the slow sinking ones with these. But when I move into the flats, I get the floating one. You know, to keep it up out of the grass, it stays right on the surface. It looks like a wounded trout going through the flats.
All right. Now, when you're trolling it, how effective has that Savage bait been?
It's very good. I usually have a Storm on and one of these on, and I'm trolling both of them side by side.
Okay. I have not caught a cobia with it yet, but in my box of I want to throw for cobia, I have the Savage trout. Now, I've got, the 6-inch version here?
Yes.
The smallest one they make. And so that is in my bucket list for ones I definitely want to take for cobia.
It works.
Because I know you've caught so many with it. Robert, did you pick the trout?
No, I only picked one lure that I would love to catch a cobia on, but that is my second favorite one because I also have one of those in my tackle box just for that instance.
Okay, so all three of us, it's either like Carl who has caught a lot of cobia with it,
yep,
or us who want to try it for cobia.
Exactly.
So, all right, so I'm up. And this is one that I have not used for cobia yet, but I want to try it. And I got two different things that I want to do with it. Number one, it is a Strike King spinnerbait. Now, the Strike King spinnerbait that I picked is 1/2 ounce, but it has a gold willow blade and a silver willow blade on it. Now, I don't want to use it with the skirt on it. I'm going to take the skirt off, and I'm going to put a tube bait on it. And now the tube bait kind of looks like a squid. It's a bass lure, but it looks more like a squid than anything I know of.
Mm-hmm.
And even though it's a bass, it's a tube bait. These are the coffee tubes by Strike King. And I put that in place of the skirt. Take the skirt off, put the tube bait on. Now, what I want to do to really make this right, in my opinion, is put the plastic worm off of the back of that. So you'd have the spinnerbait with the spinnerbait head, the coffee or the tube bait on there, and then the plastic worm coming off the back of it should give me the best of all possible worlds. I had picked the white with the black fleck, thinking great contrast. White's kind of an all-around color. You could use the dark ones like you guys are throwing, put a June bug color tube bait on it with the June bug worm or the red shad. You can mix and match your colors on it. What do you guys think of that? That's something I have not done, but I want to do.
Sounds interesting.
This sounds actually really pretty interesting, and I love the idea of the contrasting colors to change the profile up a little bit.
Now, have you thrown a spinnerbait for cobia?
No, but now that you say that, I wouldn't mind throwing that noisy spinnerbait that we just got. The one with that ball that...
Oh, that new Yozuri one.
The Yozuri with the knocker ball on it? I was throwing that the other day. Couldn't get anything to follow it. But then again, we were throwing regular spinnerbait. Couldn't get anything to follow it. Now, Robert, you've been hearing the stories about how they're using spinnerbaits on cobia?
I've heard of it, but I've never seen it, so I mean, I think it's pretty fascinating to me.
What I've been hearing about the guys doing and what got me started on this, they say the spinnerbait is the best way to get cobia up to your boat. When you see them out there swimming around, you put a bass spinnerbait on and throw it out somewhere in front of the cobia and just, you know, moderate, slow reel, bring it across in front of them, and they won't hit it, but they will follow it right to the boat, giving you a chance to cast a free line bait to them to get them interested in something. They say they follow it, but they don't hit it.
So now, basically, you're teaser baiting your sail fishing.
Right.
bait and switch.
Yeah. All right, I got to take a moment. We're going to do a station identification here. For all you people who don't know where you're at and really would like to know what where you're at or who you're listening to, here's our station identification. And WKDW Radio, and we are Real Community Radio. We're 97.5 FM, broadcasting out of Northport, Florida to Port Charlotte, Punta Gorda, Arcadia, who else? Englewood, Venice, and all of our partners, friends out in the agricultural world and people listening on the internet at kdwradio.com all around the world and the known universe. So, anyway, that was station identification, WKDW Radio. And back to our regularly scheduled programming. Okay, and we're back. All right, so this spinnerbait idea with the cobia that we were talking about before the station ID came up, I think it's pretty fascinating, but I'm thinking not only can we get them to follow it, maybe we can get them to hit it, because years ago I would take the skirt off a spinnerbait, put the tube bait on, and catch redfish and snook on them and trout, but with right. the skirt on it, I did not do good. With the tube bait, we did very well with it.
I mean, you were doing that back in the late 80s, early 90s with
Dave. Early, mid 80s, yeah. And we had a lot of fun with that, and we actually had lures that we were making up. A friend of mine who passed away used to own Osun Lures. We experimented. We fished together all the time and experimented with all the different ones. The Willow Blade with that tube body on it caught a lot more fish. It's like the Strike King has, what's that one, the Redfish Magic?
Uh-huh. Yep.
It's not magic for redfish.
Not
it doesn't work very well at all. But if you get rid of that stupid paddle tail shad, put a tube skirt on there, tube bait on it, that'll catch redfish like crazy. It works on reds, it works on trout, works on snook, but it would not sell with the tube bait on it. Nobody would buy it. Nobody would believe it, because the paddle tail shad is a saltwater bait. Mm-hmm. The tube bait's definitely a freshwater bait, but it looks like a freaking squid.
I was going to say, yeah. Show me what in freshwater looks anything like that I can think of.
But nobody throws it in saltwater except me.
I know.
And David and I did all the experiment.
I used the actual tube jig for trout fishing quite a bit.
All right. Now, Robert, what bait, do you have any bait that you've caught cobia on, or are you into want to catch cobia?
I'm into want to catch cobia, because I didn't grab the DOA shad tail, because that was what I caught my first several cobia on in one day.
The little DOA cal shads?
Yeah.
The 3-4-inch shads with the jig head on it?
Yep.
So forget that?
When we sat down, we were already sat down, and I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot that, because that's like the one when you were doing your Fish and Frank fishing show.
Right.
And we went out there and caught them all off the beach that one day.
Okay.
And I just didn't even think about it literally until I sat down, but that was like the most banner cobia day and ever
yeah,
had.
Yeah, the big dark pods of cobia underneath that you're bouncing the paddle tails on.
Caught 30 or 40 of them a piece.
Yep.
I mean, it was ridiculous. Every cast, you either hooked one or landed one. And most of them were small, but it was still...
See, you saw me on the water after I haven't been there for a long time. You don't realize there was another Fish and Frank. There was a guy when he was your age that was actually kind of on the ball.
There was either three or four of us on the boat, and we all easily caught 30 or 40 cobia apiece.
Wow.
He's got video footage of it, so there's proof somewhere.
Oh, yeah. No, Charlie got all that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
Hurricane took
all
that.
There's no proof left anymore.
That's why we don't have a TV show anymore. I had the whole TV studio in my garage. I did all my own editing and producing and production. And I would go out, we would do the filming, and then we would edit the shows and broadcast them.
That was a blast. That was fun.
So the DOA cal shads, and I used the short shank DOA hooks. out there, 3/8 ounce was all we needed to catch them. We were in about 10, 15 feet of water looking for dark spots on the bottom. And usually we use the clear back with the pepper, the salt and pepper with the chartreuse tail on it and a red head. That was usually what my favorite one for cobia was. And yeah, that was right along the beaches out there, kind of close to Little Gasparilla Pass.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I forgot all about that day. Yeah, that it's hard to believe, but I used to do so much fishing. I was out there all the time. I mean, Carl, you have no idea, but some days I was on the water 20 hours a day. Yeah.
Basically, he was you 20 years ago.
Yeah. Nice.
I mean, he days that he didn't have a charter, he would still go out and he would take Terry or one of his friends and they would go fish just so he could stay on top of it. He'd do a three charter day, like in the summertime, where he'd run a triple, get 3 or 4 or 5 hours of sleep or whatever it was, and still go back out the next day. I mean, he'd be hurting, but he always stayed on the fish as best he could, you yeah. know.
And still had just, some bad days, but I had sure. a lot of good days.
Absolutely. All right,
Carl, are you into have caught or want to catch?
Want to catch.
Okay, what did you pick that you have not caught a cobia with, but you want to catch one with?
Spool tech. Yep.
Ah, an interesting choice.
There you go. That's now, a real interesting choice.
It's good for snook. What made you decide on the spool tech?
Well, I mean, I've seen people catching cobia on ladyfish and stuff like that, and, you know, this is probably one of our best lures that resembles a ladyfish.
That's the 9-incher, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep, 9-inch.
Now, spool tech is the one that came out with, and the hook is on a cable. So when the fish hits, the hook pulls away from the lure on a little cable, and once you release the fish, take the fish off the hook, you have to wind it, the cable, back into the lure so the hook is again tight to the lure. So it's got a little crank on the side of it. You crank the leader mm-hmm. back up into it. Now, I understand why you have not thrown it. They're what, 20, 25 bucks?
$20.99. Yep.
So it's a $20 lure, so that does make it a little harder to throw.
Yeah.
But that leader pulling out is actually pretty interesting.
Yes. I mean, your bait's not getting messed up when it gets slid, you know, pulls all the way away from the fish. And it's just like that Savage bait, too. They both do that. They both slide away from the fish, so your bait's not getting damaged.
So you can catch multiple fish on it without destroying the lure. Yep. You know, they're just with the hook and the leader.
Right.
And you could troll these or you could cast them.
Now, are you going to try? That's a big lure. So you're going to try throwing it or you think more trolling?
I'm going to try trolling them first.
Okay.
See how that goes.
All right. Now, I'm down to my last pick here, and it's one I have not used, but I actually think would be great on cobia. Because when it sinks, it tends to go down in a bit of a circle. You can twitch it. It's got a lot of different action. It's multi-segmented. It's a Sabeel Magic Swimmer. Now, this is a little bit larger size, and I haven't done it yet. But it'll go down 1.5 to 4 feet, something like that. But you can keep it right along the surface. It's the 165 size in the slow sinking. And I picked a gold with a black back. What do you think of that?
It looks pretty good, actually.
Now,
it looks really good.
I think that would be a fun lure to catch cobia on.
Yes. You could catch it. Now, what I like about it is it has double hooks, not treble hooks. I think it's got a front treble and a rear double. The back hook is a double, not a treble, and the front hook is a treble. What I would kind of like to try is I'm going to pinch the barbs off down on the front treble hook, flatten them right out, and go to the big single hook, VMC single hook replacement for the back. I think I can get a better hook up with one single hook on there. Putting it on, now you can't use just a regular hook because then the hook sticks out sideways. VMC makes a single hook replacement for trebles, and the eye is the same way as a treble hook, so when you put it on, I can have that hook with the point pointing up.
Yep.
And this is a great jerk bait. You can slow troll it at the speed you're going, like around 2 to 2.5 miles an hour. This, I think, would give a very nice presentation and stay up in the water high enough to give you that other bait. Yeah. What do you think of that?
Never thought about throwing it.
I never noticed that it was a double hook in the back.
Yeah, I like the double hook, and I'm going to try that, and I'm going to try the single hook replacement option.
Yeah, I actually think that might work pretty good.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, I've looked at them 100 times. Yeah. I just never noticed that it was a double hook in the back.
No.
Now, how much is that one? $13, same price, $12.99. That's the same price as the Savage Swim Bait. So expensive, but not horrifically so. But I just like the action of that Magic Swimmer. And if I was to see Cobia, I think I can twitch it and work it and letting it sink and bringing it back and letting it sink and bringing it back enough to get him interested in it. But I think under those circumstances, I'm going to have to put a smell on it to get him to want to hit it.
Yeah.
If it's not moving fairly quick, it's going to be hard for them to reaction strike.
Yeah.
That slow retrieve where you could get them really interested in it makes them follow it, but I don't really know if it makes them want to hit it.
Are you going to do like your coffee scent, or would you do more like the gel type scents, like the Procure stuff?
All right, now, out there, boys and girls, I use Strike King's coffee scent on my lures. For years, my boat has smelled like crabs, ladyfish, anise oil, that licorice sweet smell, all these other smells and everything else, gulp and all this stuff. It's always been all over my boat. It's always, you know, had that odor to it. Well, if you've ever met me, and I hope if you haven't, one day we do get to meet and shake hands and all that kind of stuff, but I walk around with a cup of coffee with a little cream and sugar in it, and I have a nicotine habit, unfortunately, but caffeine is, you know, coffee is one of my favorite things. Coffee with a little bit of cream and sugar, and when you use the Strike King spray, it smells like coffee with cream and sugar. I believe it works. Yes, that's what I use on my lures. And whether I'm doing cobia or snappers or snook or redfish, I use the Strike King coffee scent. Now, Robert, what's your favorite scent?
Mine is the Procure stuff, you know, like the shrimp or the mullet. Those are kind of my two go-tos. You know, they're a gel that stays tacky and seems to stay on any bait I put it on for a long period of time, whether it's a soft plastic bait or in your instance that hard bait. The hard baits, it's amazing how well it stays on, so I don't have to reapply it as often.
All right, now, you know. Carl, are you a smell guy or a no smell guy?
I put smell on everything. I'm like Robert. I actually put Procure on everything.
So you guys are both Procure.
I put it on my gold spoons. I put it on everything.
I'm just forgetful, so I never reapply it. You know, I don't reapply it very often, and you don't have to with that.
I like the blue crab and the shrimp. Those are my two favorite scents of the Procure.
And yours were, Robert?
Shrimp and mullet.
The shrimp and the mullet, and you're the blue crab number one. What's your number
shrimp.
Two? Shrimp. So both you guys on the shrimp, but one blue crab, one mullet. I get that.
Yeah.
Like I say, I used to do all those scents, but the only thing I warn you out there, boys and girls, is when I do the Strike King stuff, it comes in an aerosol can. If you set that on your boat, it's going to leave rust marks. Mm-hmm. I take electrical tape and wrap the bottom of it with electrical tape so I can fold it over the bottom. It keeps the rust marks off my boat. Otherwise, it's a very irritating can. I don't like spending the money to dip it in that, you know, plastic goop like you put on the end of your tools. But that's probably the best way to do it. But yeah, the can's a nightmare. It's a cheap metal and it will rust very quickly. But I like the smell, and I think the fish do.
It smells a lot more appealing than the other stuff. I know that.
Yeah, that's true.
You got to know it works. I mean, that's one of the things about all this. You have to know it works.
I use it sometimes, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, and I've seen it work with you. I've just never personally tried it.
And I don't blame you. It's too weird. Nobody in their right mind is going to put something on there that smells like coffee with cream and sugar. But now I would go and liken that anise oil. That's that sweet licorice scent like anisetti cookies like the Italians make. I'm Dutch. I don't know nothing about Italian cooking.
I was thinking, you know, Sambuca.
Sambuca, that's true. It's in Sambuca. Okay, we got our alcoholic here. You're good. I like that. I thought I was the drunk of the bunch, but Robert, you're kicking me down. All right, I can be taken down a notch. Carl, that licorice scent, it is always consistently in the top fish attractors.
Absolutely.
And I think because everything on the planet likes a sweet.
Right. I can see that.
Yeah.
There's something about the anise that's absolutely amazing. I mean, it was one of the first scents that was put into a plastic worm, if I remember right.
Yeah, absolutely true.
You know, and I think it's just because it has that historic factor, so people just continually use it, but it's always been productive.
But I think sweet is a big thing. Look at, around the world, candy bars.
Yeah.
Look how much sugar is sold today. I mean, sugar to make stuff a little sweet.
Yeah, you go and anywhere in the world and you hold up a candy bar and kids are going to flock to you.
And even think about animals. Animals love sweet stuff. If you got sugar out.
Molasses.
Yep. You know. So I don't really think it's that off the mark, because it is coffee with cream and sugar. So it is kind of a sweeter smell. It's not the straight out bitter smell of black coffee. Right. So it could be the sweet factor that makes it work okay. But whatever ones you like, there's a lot of the bass scents work great in fresh water. The saltwater scents work great in, freshwater scents work in saltwater. Saltwater scents work in freshwater. I think people know about freshwater, saltwater, but I don't think the fish do as much.
Right.
I think that's more of a human thing than a fish thing. I'm going to take just a second here for a station identification. This is where we tell you who we are and where you are. So in case you didn't know where you are, this is where you are. WKDW Radio, 97.5 FM, Real Community Radio. And if you want to listen to us anywhere in the world, go to kdwradio.com. Click the Listen Now button and you can hear the show. Or if you like the show, we got to, if you think we're good, a quarter, 50-cent donation on the Donate Now button, because this is, nonprofit radio. None of the money goes to us. You don't have to worry. You're not paying us to annoy you. So, but WKDW Radio, WKDW 97.5 FM, broadcasting out of Northport, Florida. And back to our regularly scheduled programming in progress. Okay. We only got a couple minutes left. I like cobia because they're wonderful eating and they fight so good. But yes. I think the biggest mistake people make, and we've got about 2 minutes here, so we're going to do this quickly. They hook a cobia, they comes to the boat right away, and they think they've got it.
No.
First thing you got to do is
that's
hook
good
that cobia.
We sell more landing nets that way.
We sell more landing nets. We sell more tackle, more rods, because they break the rods, they break the line. When that fish comes up to the boat the first time, loosen your drag up.
Yes.
Take your drag down at least 2 turns, because as soon he's right now, he's fighting. It's okay. This is annoying. What's going on? Then he sees the boat. Oh my God! OMG! Big time! I'm out of here! And then he makes that burst run, and that thing will make a bonefish look like slow. He makes that big long run. And that's where, and then he comes back to fight. I would say the hard, where everybody loses the fish, is they get him about 15, 20 feet away from the boat. And they think he's right there. And they're going to get him. He's right there. But they can stay there for 20, 30, 40, 50 minutes. And they don't go very far away. They don't get much closer. They get a little bit closer and they go right back out to that distance. And they stay there. You have to be patient enough, steady pressure. Keep pulling them a little bit, work that fish, take your time, and you'll land them. As soon as you get impatient, it's all over.
Yeah, that's when you'll lose
them. You know, one lure I forgot that I really like is a hoagie.
Oh, yeah, the hoagie, the big...
I mean, I noticed none of us grabbed one either, but hoagies work great for cobia.
I have not caught one on a hoagie, but I've caught one on a DOA fluke. The larger the DOA inch. One?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've actually caught one. He was... probably 31, 32 inches, nothing spectacular, but I have caught one on the DOA fluke, but I have not thrown the hoagie.
Yep, hoagie, I haven't done it lately, but I used to throw that hoagie a lot for cobia, and I used to do very well.
Robert, you got about 30 seconds, anything you want to throw in there?
No, just be ready for them when you go to gaff them, and make sure you have a big enough
and use water. Your landing net, because we want to sell more landing nets.
Yeah.
How does a cobia make a dive and go right through a mesh net like that? That'll stop a shark, but won't a cobia will go right through it.
And you need a cooler and ice, because 33 inches at the fork, they're a big fish. You need a nice enough cooler to hold them in it.
Okay, because it's really crazy how all that comes about. Usually, if you're going to eat the cobia and you're sure he's legal size, you're going to want to use a gaff on him. If you use a landing net on him, even a very heavy-duty landing net, most chances are he'll swim right through it. And then you got the fish through it, your lines through the net. It becomes now double tough.
Oh,
random.
I've been there.
We all have, because we look and we got this heavy mesh and we just land a big snook or even a shark in it. And the cobia looks at it and goes, oh, I can go through that. Poof! Wild. Anyway, this is Fish and Franks, and we really appreciate you guys listening to the show. Thank you very much. Fish and Frank in the chair, Robert in the chair across me, and Captain Carl Buttigieg from KB Backcountry Charters here joining us in the guest spot. So we will catch you on the next Fish and Franks.
Welcome to a place of rods, reels, line, and fish. You're about to enter the fishing zone.
First time we did it, I was scared to death. She snuck out in that cotton dress. Jumped on in and we drove to the lake. Put her hand on my knee and said, I can't wait. I had everything we needed in the bed of my truck. Turns out my baby loves to fish. She wants to do it all the time. Early in the morning, in the middle of the night. She's hooked, and now she can't get enough. Man, that girl sure loves to fish. Now after that, that's all she wanted to do. That was okay, cause I did too. She always wants to go down by the dam. And I love how she looks with that rod in her hand. If they ain't biting, she don't give up. Turns out my baby loves to fish. She wants to do it all the time. Early in the morning, in the middle of the night. She's hooked, and now she can't get enough. Man, that girl sure loves to fish. Wants to do it all the time. Early in the morning, in the middle.